Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be here with you today. You know, 2 weeks ago, we started talking about this idea of us waiting on God and what that means. And because we all love to wait, right? It's easily one of my top five things to do in this world is just to wait. But seriously, waiting is a drag. And I don't think anybody really enjoys waiting, right? We want what we want when we want it. We like fast food. We like fast cars. We like fast internet. I mean, does anybody here remember the days of dial-up internet and how that noise, you know, and somebody inevitably would pick up the phone and it's like, I'm on the internet, and got to hang it up. But just to recap where we have been over the last couple weeks, you know, 2 weeks ago we talked about how Abram and Sarai had a difficult waiting for this promise that God had made for them, and so they took matters into their own hands. And because of that, we're still living with the ramifications of that choice to this very day. Now, last week we talked about how the Israelites grew frustrated with Moses, and because Moses was up on the Mount Sinai for far too long in their eyes. I mean, Moses is getting the Ten Commandments, like the Big Ten from God himself. And the people decided they couldn't wait. And so they created gods of their own making, gods that they could control. But what they failed to realize is that whenever we create our own gods, we find out that these gods cannot save us or redeem us. And so that brings us to today. And we are sticking with Moses. And we're going to be going a little bit deeper into the Old Testament, specifically the book of Numbers. And, you know, at this point, a great deal of time has passed from when they were in Egypt as slaves till now. And since that moment when they were released from slavery in Egypt, they have been walking with Moses. They have been wandering around in the desert. They occasionally will set up camp and they'll stay in an area for a while, and then they'll tear down camp and do some more wandering. Then they'll set up camp and stay, and then they'll tear it down and do some more wandering. And funny thing though about the desert, you know, the desert is a desert because of the lack of rain, right? Very little rainfall occurs in desert places. And so without the modern conveniences of plumbing, it makes sense that a large group of people that are traveling throughout this desert would get thirsty. And so they come to Moses and they come to Aaron and they complain that there is no water. And so that's where our scripture starts today, from Numbers chapter 20, beginning with verse 2. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. And they quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community to the wilderness? Why that we and our livestock should die? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place?" Another version says to this evil place. "It has no grain, it has no figs, no grapevines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So point number one, when crisis hits, you will either run from God or you will run to God. Now the problem facing everybody in this passage is the same exact problem, right? People need water to live, and without water, their lives are in danger. And the text says that the Israelites quarrel with Moses, and they call this place where he has brought them evil. And they cry out, right? If only we had died with our brothers, we wouldn't be in this position. They're talking about what we talked about last week, when they were at the foot of Mount Sinai and created that golden calf. They're like, oh, if only we would have been struck dead there, we wouldn't be in this position now. The King James Version refers to people like this as stiff-necked. as in they are a stiff-necked people. And if you've ever slept funny or had a pillow that just didn't seem right, you understand what it means to be stiff-necked. Right? A stiff-necked person can only see forward. They can't turn their necks to the right or to the left, right? They are stuck with a singular vision. And because they cannot look to the right or to their left, they are not able to see alternate opportunities, alternate realities. They are doomed to only see one set of circumstances. Moses and Aaron, however, are not stiff-necked. And they're able to see to the right and to their left, and they can see alternate opportunities to the problem that they are facing. In fact, Moses and Aaron, faced with the same exact problem, the lack of water, react differently than everybody else. They go to the tent of meeting, and they kneel down, and they pray. When faced with a crisis, they ran to God, and they didn't run from God. Now, raise your hand if you are in the middle of a crisis. Well, that's good. My dining room ceiling is leaking water. Jan called me before 8:30 service. She's like, the dining room is, we've got water everywhere. I'm at church. I can't do anything about it. That's why she's not here today. So I'm in the middle of a crisis. Now raise your hand if you have just left a crisis. Raise your hand if you're about to go into a crisis. Yeah, I hope not, right? Because here is an absolute truth, church. Every single one of us are going to go through it at some point in our lives. In fact, multiple times in our lives. Every single one of us are going to face hardship and crisis and storms of life. And we are going to have to make the choice whether we are going to run from God or whether we are going to run to God. Now, the key to making the right choice, the key to running to God, begins when you are not in hardship or crisis or a storm of life. It begins right now. It begins with me today making the right choice, the choice to trust in God. And we make the choice to be faithful now because so that when later on, when the choices become harder, choosing to run to God is automatic. Now, most of us probably in this room have heard of Damar Hamlin, right? Damar Hamlin was that Buffalo Bill player who, in the midst of a playoff game, no, it wasn't playoffs yet, but he was struck by a Cincinnati Bengal player. And he was struck in such a way that his heart instantly stopped. He collapsed on the ground, and it was only due to the quick reaction of the safety personnel there that saved his life. Pretty cool. Damar Hamlin has been released to actually play football already. It's amazing. Praise God for all of that. Now, I'm not a betting man because I'm a good Methodist. But if I were to place a bet today, I would wager all the money that I have that none of those safety personnel learned CPR that morning. Right? These safety personnel have been training and updating and practicing all of those safety protocols so that when something crazy like this ridiculous hit and this healthy, you know, 28-year-old guy collapses on the stadium floor, they rush to him, perform CPR, and save his life. It's the same way with us. If we want to be prepared for when life comes crashing down, we need to begin today. Build your trust in God, practice your faith, go to Him early and often. Our scripture continues with God telling Moses this: take your staff, and you and your brother Aaron, gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out water. And you will bring water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink. So let's talk about what God just told Moses to do. Let's talk about these commands. Moses, take your staff, call an assembly, speak to the rock. Very simple, cut and dry instructions from God. And that brings us to point number two. Because when crisis hits, you will either ignore God or you will listen to God. Now, I am not an engineer, nor have I ever played one on TV. But I have got to say, I don't think this is how it works, right? I don't think that you simply speak to a rock and water pours forth. My first church, we had a gas well drilled on our property. And I was there when Gene Fredericks came in. And when Gene came in, he didn't go out onto the property and simply look out over the field and say, "Gas, pour forth." No, he bought a big old truck with a big drill and he drilled. And that's how we got gas. And so I can imagine Moses being a little bit like, "What now? You want me to do what?" I realize that these guys are talking to the same God that got them out of slavery, that got them out of Egypt, got them across the Red Sea, and feeds them every day with manna. And it would be easy for us, right, to point a finger and say, "How could they not listen to God?" But don't we fall into the same exact trap? God wants us to share our faith with others. And we say, "But God." God wants us to use our giftedness for his glory. And we say, "But God." God wants us to be a generous people. But we say, "But God." You know, much like we talked about Abram and Sarai 2 weeks ago and the people waiting for Moses up on top of Mount Sinai last week, we can fall into the same patterns of impatience and distrust. We too can choose to ignore God or listen to God. And the key to making the right choice, the key to listening to God, begins not when you are in hardship, crisis, or a storm of life. It begins right now. It begins with making the choice today to trust in God. If we wait for hardship or crisis or storm of life, we will be much more likely to ignore God rather than to listen to him. And so build your trust in God today. Practice your faith. Go to him early and often. Now, the last section of Numbers 20 is perhaps the saddest to me, as it says this. And so Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as God commanded him. And he and Aaron gathered the assembly in front of the rock, right, just as God had told them to do. And Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water up out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and he struck the rock twice. Water gushed out and the community and their livestock drank. But God said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust me enough to honor me in front of the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land that I gave them." Moses didn't trust God. Yes, he brought the staff. Yes, he called the assembly. But rather than speaking to the rock as God had commanded him, he struck the rock. Not once, but twice. And that brings us to our third point this morning. When crisis hits, you will either act without God or you will trust God to act. Moses talked with God. He was the one that God gave the Ten Commandments to. Moses was God's speaker for many years, and it's a subtle moment that we find or that we read in Numbers 20, but Moses takes matters into his own hands. And because Moses acted without God, God tells Moses that his actions showed a lack of faith. And as a result, God informs Moses that he will not lead the people into the promised land. And as I said 2 weeks ago, when we take matters into our own hands, things do not go well, and there are consequences we must face. However, I also said, We cannot mess things up so much that God abandons his plans or breaks his promises. God is merciful, and he lets Moses see the promised land, even though he wasn't able to enter it. You know, Moses' mistake is a reminder that we too can slip from being faithful and taking matters into our own hands. Every single one of us, that temptation is going to be there. And the key to making the right choice, right, the key to waiting for God to act begins not when you are in hardship or crisis or a storm of life. It begins right now. It begins today with making the choice to trust in God. And waiting on God requires us to let go of our controlling nature and to really fully trust in him. It doesn't come naturally, right? Faith and trust are like a muscle that we have to work out and exercise. It requires work on our part. But if we choose to wait on God, God will show up. He will answer prayers. He will be a safe place for us. And so what is it, church, that you might be able to do today or do this week to help you exercise your faith and trust muscle so that you can wait on God? That you wouldn't act before God says to act, but rather you would wait. What can you do this week that you might grow deeper in your relationship with him? Let's pray together. Gracious God, we do pray for good memories. That we would be able to remember, Lord, how you have been trustworthy in the past so many times. That we have been able to lean on you so many times. Help us to remember your faithfulness so that when we are tempted to act without you, we wouldn't, that we would simply wait for you, that we would trust you. Lord, help us all in this. And it's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I love in Joshua's, Joshua crosses the Jordan River and goes into the promised land. And one of the first things they have to do is fight the city of Jericho. And Jericho is a huge, massive city, huge, massive wall, and very intimidating. But as they cross the Jordan River, as the ark crosses the Jordan River, and they walk across on dry ground, God tells Joshua and the people of God, take 12 stones and build an altar on the other side of the river. And so they cross and they take out the stones from the middle of the Jordan, and they go and they set up a marker, they set up an altar. And they do that because down the road is Jericho. And in their own mind, they would think, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? In fact, if you know the story, God tells them to have a parade around the city. And it sounds ridiculous. These people just walked across dry ground, across a flooded river. And they were able to look back, and they could see the marker. And they saw how God was faithful. And they're like, okay, God, we can wait. We can wait, and we can listen, and we can obey. You know, again, remember how God has been faithful. Remember how God has provided. Because when the next storm, the next crisis that comes, you know, run to God. Yeah, don't make God the last thing you do. Make God the first thing you do. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for being our God, Lord, for providing everything for us and more. Lord, help us to wait and to trust, Lord, to seek after you. Help us to flex our trust muscles, Lord, when we need to. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen, church. God bless you. Thank you. Thanks for being here.